You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Climate change is a problem that hangs perpetually over the head of humankind. In an effort to find a solution to this existential issue, some scientists have proposed using geoengineering to, quote, hack the climate. Possible geoengineering proposals include injecting sea salt into clouds to increase their brightness and using giant space parasols to block the sun. However, geoengineering has its critics. Dr. Kevin E. Trenberth discussed the pitfalls of geoengineering in his recent Newsroom article, Hacking Planet Earth Will Not Save Us From Ourselves. In the article, Dr. Trenberth uses this allegory to display ethical problems around who gets to control a hacked climate. Once upon a time in an idyllic country, near a small town and a farming community, a rope hung out of the sky. One pull on the rope changed the weather from fine and sunny to cloudy and rainy, and the next pull changed it back. For many years, the people cooperated. The farmers used the rain to help grow crops, and the townspeople enjoyed the sunny periods. But there came a time when the townspeople protested that the rain was too much, and they wanted more sunshine. The farmers were concerned about their crops, and so arguments broke out, with a person from the town pulling on the rope, followed quickly by a farmer pulling it again. And they pulled, and they pulled, and they broke the rope. I spoke to Dr. Trenberth about his article and the implications of pursuing geoengineering as a solution to climate change.
Well, there are various kinds of geoengineering. Firstly, you recognize that climate change is happening. It's often referred to as global warming, and the main cause of climate change is the buildup of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. So they trap the outgoing infrared radiation that normally escapes to space and act as sort of a blanket to warm up the planet. And there are various proposals to try to cut down on the warming. Now, this relates often more to global temperature. Under the Paris Agreement, there was a 1.5 degree Celsius and a 2 degree Celsius target set relative to pre-industrial times, that we shouldn't exceed those numbers using in the global mean temperature. And so it sort of puts a focus more on temperature rather than the radiation and the flow of energy through the climate system. And so some of the proposals are designed to cut down on temperature, but they really don't deal with the problem of the increasing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So one of them is called solar radiation management, which is a real euphemism, and it's designed to emulate a volcano. One of the most recent quite large volcanic eruptions was in 1991-1992, Mount Pinatubo, and I did some studies of that particular event, and what it did is it blasted a whole lot of stuff into the stratosphere, and it formed small particulates that blocked the sun, and indeed, it produced a cooling. The sea temperatures cooled off, the land temperatures cooled off, but it also had side consequences because the land cooled off faster than the ocean, and it had profound effects on the monsoons, and especially throughout southern Asia, there were major droughts that occurred as a consequence of that. And so this is one of the side effects of potentially fiddling in this kind of way. There are other approaches to dealing with geoengineering by trying to brighten clouds, for instance, at low levels. And there are some that deal with the carbon cycle itself, where carbon dioxide goes, and can you take up more carbon dioxide in various ways? And, you know, one of the obvious ways is by growing more trees, and we often talk about that kind of thing. But the trees have a finite lifetime, and they, you know, the question is, what do you do with trees? So we can talk about all those kinds of things.
I also want to ask what you think are some of the biggest public misconceptions around climate change.
So I think there's a number that are maybe somewhat unique to New Zealand in particular, because in New Zealand we have a lot of electricity which is generated by hydroelectric power, something like over 85% is thought of as renewable. That really includes geothermal as well. But a lot of our emissions come from cattle and sheep and livestock industry. And this relates to methane. So methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas, but it only has a short lifetime of about 10 years or so, and it gets oxidized and turned into carbon dioxide and water vapor. So the key thing which has not been properly realized, and I think this is even true in part of the scientific community, is that all of the things relating to the livestock industry, and this applies also to things like rice paddies, rice farming, which can also be a source of methane. The thing about those is that it's biogenic methane. It's not fossil methane. There's a lot of attention at the moment on fossil methane, fugitive methane. This is the methane which escapes as a part of mining for oil and gasoline around the planet, or leaky mines and so on, and the leaky pipelines flaring off and venting methane into the atmosphere. And there's a couple of new satellites now that are up there that are able to track a lot of these things and point fingers, actually. I think that's going to be happening more and more. And these are highly desirable to stop, because methane is a powerful greenhouse gas. And if you can prevent these, the venting or the leaks, actually you can capture the methane and you can use it as, you know, so-called natural gas. And so you can even potentially make a profit out of doing that. But that increases ultimately the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. In the short term, it's methane, but in the longer term, it's carbon dioxide. The difference with biogenic methane is that it comes from carbon dioxide in the atmosphere in the first place, because that carbon dioxide is taken up by grass during photosynthesis, and then the cattle eat the grass and produce valuable products, actually, a lot of protein, meat, leather, dairy products of all kinds and so on. And there's a side product of methane, but it only lasts about 10 years. And so in New Zealand, the numbers of cattle have been fairly stable, at least since 2010. I haven't looked at all the numbers coming back. I guess there were big increases in the 1990s. But they've been stable for, you know, 15 years. And so any activities with regard to cattle are not actually adding to the methane in the atmosphere, because as they add it, it gets oxidized and taken out. It's actually a stable configuration. Now, that's not true globally. There are places around the world, especially where deforestation is going on, that results in a lot more methane going into the atmosphere because there's increased ranches and palm oil forests and things like that that are very bad for the composition of the atmosphere. But there needs to be a distinction between biogenic methane and fossil methane.
I just wanted to wrap up by asking a little bit about something that you wrote about in your newsroom article. In that article, you wrote that we should give up the notion that geoengineering will save us from ourselves. What problems do you foresee will arise if we choose to rely on geoengineering as a solution?
Well, the problems with geoengineering are several-fold, actually. One of them is it's quite expensive. And so you're putting quite a lot of money into doing this, and it could be used for other purposes, more usefully, I think. But in addition, once you start doing geoengineering, you have to do it forever. And in fact, you have to increase it forever, because as soon as you stop, all of the carbon dioxide is still in the atmosphere, and the global warming comes back at you in spades. and causes even more disruption than any of this disruption that's going on at the moment. You know, I think that's extremely worrying. But as I pointed out in my article, I had a little fable that illustrated the point. The question is, who is in charge on behalf of all of the peoples of the world to control the nature of the climate change that we're doing now deliberately instead of inadvertently? And so there are major ethical issues about how geoengineering might be, I'm tempted to say managed, but I don't think mismanaged might be a better word for it.
That was Dr. Kevin E. Trimbeth speaking about geoengineering.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.